So good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I told the first service this little story, and I feel like I should tell you too. Many years ago, one of the other times that this congregation was between ministers, I actually had the opportunity to be here and do some sort of a holiday service. And so they have this giant candle on this giant candle stand lit here. And whatever I was talking about, I can't remember what it was, but sometimes I tend to get caught up in what I'm talking about and get passionate and whatever. And those of you who know me, there are a few of you who know me in this service. I move around a lot, and, you know, and I kind of get lost about where exactly I am. So I was down here, and the candle's back here, and I'm talking about something about being passionate and getting your heart on fire and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing I see this streak run behind me. And realized that it was Beverly Doherty was like streaking behind me, and I'm thinking, well, that's an odd thing to do. And then I realized that she was streaking behind me, grabbing the candle just as I was about to back into it and catch my hair on fire, which was going a little too far to make a point, if you know what I mean. So I was, there is, but it's way over there. And I'm not going over there. So, we're safe. My understanding is, when Beverly asked me to come and speak today, she said that this is the opening Sunday of your Prosperity Pledge program here at Unity of Bellevue. So she said, you know, could you, you know, speak about prosperity a little bit? You know, don't beat them up too bad, but just, you know, she said, don't steal all their wallets on the way out, but just, you know, try to be inspirational or something. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll do what I can. I'll do my best. And so that's what I'm going to talk about. And I don't know about you all, but if you listen to the news at all, one might be moved to say that we're living in interesting economic times. You know, they're interesting. However you judge that, good or bad, is up to you. But they're interesting. We can't deny that. Now, one of your favorite speakers who has come here quite a lot to this particular spiritual community happens to be one of my teachers and mentors and friends, and that's Reverend Mary Mannon Morrissey. So I pulled a quote of hers about prosperity and abundance, and she says this: true abundance is not about gathering more things. It's about touching the place in us that is connected to the divine source of abundance so that we know what we need in the moment will be provided. And that's what Stefan was singing about, that we know that there is this magnificence of spirit, this infinite possibility within us and all around us, and that everything we need and want will be provided in the moment that we need it. And to move into the conviction and the belief and the faith and the trust in that, that's what abundance consciousness is about. That's what prosperity is about. And, you know, by the way, you know, wealth, we think of wealth now as all about money. It really isn't. Wealth is a term that really means well-being of every nature. It's to have a well-being on all levels. So, you know, don't get twisted around money. You know, if you got issues around money, today would be a great day to give them up. You're in good company for that. So I love that quote of Reverend Mary's because it really reminds us that, yes, we're living in some interesting economic times, and yet we're really called to be uplifted into a spiritual consciousness to know a higher truth and a greater possibility. And at the same time, we're here on purpose in human form, in this human incarnation, to not only have a spiritual experience, but to have a human experience as well. We don't get to do a bypass. We're here for a reason with this body and all the other stuff that goes with it, right? So it's important that we also have some not only spiritual tools, but some practical tools to live into the human experience. And so I'm going to share with you today some tips and some practices that are both practical and spiritual so that we can be both human and divine simultaneously and do them both really well around this idea of abundance and prosperity. Now, another teacher and friend of mine, Michael Beckwith, said that, I love this phrase that he coined, and it's really about awakening. It's about us coming to a place of awakening and being in a state of awareness about a greater truth and living from that state of awakened awareness. And so what he says is that, you know, part of that process of becoming awake is, it's really transforming into a greater becoming of who we truly are and letting go of who we're not so that we can be fully present to who we truly are, who we were created to be. And so that awakening process, he says, we can be pushed by pain or pulled by a vision. Now, pushed by pain sounds a little bit like human condition, human experience to me. Now, I happen to know from my own human experience that being pushed by pain can be highly motivating. It has moved me off many a dime. And I also know it's not a place I want to buy a condo. So I've also had the opportunity to experience being pulled by a vision. And I'll tell you, it is infinitely easier, more fun, more pleasant. It just works better. It flows. It's powerful. It's magnificent. And it's way bigger than anything I can come up with myself. Because Spirit, Father, Mother, God, Spirit has a vision that is complete, perfect, and whole for every single one of us, simply waiting for us to lift the veil between us and it. It's there for every single one of us. We just may not know it yet. And so we move through a practice of becoming awakened to that vision that Spirit holds for us and allow ourselves to be pulled literally into it. It's kind of like I used this metaphor earlier that, you know, when you go to the airport, you can either walk from the gate all the way up to the luggage thing, or they have those little sidewalks that move now. That's being pulled by a vision. Way easier than schlepping all your stuff by hand. You just stand there and it's like surfing with God, you know, it's really great. And that's what it is to be pulled by a vision. So we want to take a look at some of that, and I want to begin with that idea of vision. The vision is about what we want to experience and literally what God wants to express through us. That's that vision that God has for each of us and for us to reveal to ourselves. It is the becoming of who we are. It is the I am of our beingness. Now, I absolutely adore the two words I am. Three tiny little letters, but they have more power than the most powerful nuclear whatever. What am I talking about? No, I don't like bombs, but there's nuclear what? Power, whatever. Yeah, I am is more powerful than that. Because anything you put after I am, you're literally praying into manifestation. So the I stands for intention, getting clear intention or idea. And the A stands for giving it attention and action. And the M is for moving it into manifestation. And if you could make that your prayer practice, actually. It's a very easy one to remember. I am an idiot, and so it is. Amen. Whoops, whoa. You do what the kids say. Do over. Okay, let's try a different one. I am a magnificent expression of God, and so it is. Amen. Okay, I vote for that one. What do you think? Yeah, let's do that one. So think about and be conscious to anything that you put after those words, I am, because you're creating a prayer and sending it out to the universe, and the universe is really happy to answer you. So be clear. So part of what we want to do in a vision is to catch Spirit's vision for us. So we must be in a communion with, in a conversation with, in prayer and meditation and visioning with Spirit to catch that vision that it holds for us so that we can imagine what's possible rather than getting stuck in what was or what is right now and know that life is ever unfolding and becoming a greater possibility in and through us. Get a clear eye, intention. Move into possibility consciousness because that's where all the joy, the fun, and the fulfillment is. And peace. There's a peace even in that passion. A peaceful passion. That's cool. Peaceful passion. Now, creation, any kind of creation that happens in your life out of that vision, happens first in mind. We get an idea or a thought. And then we move it down to a feeling, a passionate feeling in our heart and our soul. And then it moves into manifestation in our lives. So first in mind, then in heart and soul, and then in manifestation in our lives. That's how creation happens. Our job is to get a very, very clear what. And first we've got to clear the clutter out so that we create a space for a clear what of intention or idea can be revealed to us. And then that's it. That's our job. Be clear, stay clear, be awake, stay awake. Your job is not the how. That's God's job. God unfolds the how. How many of us have been stopped when we had a fabulous vision, idea, dream, wish, or hope, and we said, wow, that's just magnificent. We got all excited, and then we said, well, I don't know how to do that. And that was the end of it. I know I'm not the only one, but you don't have to raise your hand. Where we got messed up was in thinking we had to figure out the how. We don't have to figure out the how. We need to be available to Spirit downloading the how. Now, I transitioned my ministry recently because of a divine download from Spirit. It's not something I would have thought up, to move from bricks and mortar, which is something I know, to move into something virtual and in cyberspace, which is not something I know. I'm not a techie. And I'm not virtual, by the way. I'm actually here. This is actually me. So, you know, I actually do show up some places on the planet. So, you know, it was like weird to me. It was like, you want me to do what? And then I started to really contemplate and be with that. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. This is exciting. This is an adventure. And then I did my breath kind of got short and I went, I don't know how to do that. And I went, oh, that's right. I don't have to know how. All I need to do is be open and receptive to Spirit's guidance, and it will be shown to me. And all the learning curve of technology, I will be guided and led through. Everything I need to support all of that will come my way, because that's how the universe works. Spirit never gives us a vision or an idea without also the support to unfold it. St. Paul said that that creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God, and that he who begins a great work in you will complete it through you. And that's true. I know that to be true. When I get sort of sidetracked or off in a ditch is when I try to take all the reins and control back and do it mine own self instead of really partnering with Spirit. Now, one of the other questions that comes up with people is they go, well, how are you going to make any money at that kind of a ministry? How are you going to support yourself? And I start to answer and then I go, you know what? I have no idea. And it's not my job to know. It's my job to be clear on the experience that is being called forth in and through and as me in this ministry, and to listen up for the how from my business partner, Spirit. Right? So I was just talking to somebody about that last night. And I said, you know, they were asking, you know, how's it going? Is it supporting you? Blah, blah, blah. Because it's pretty new. And I said, you know, the money hasn't caught up to the vision yet. But I know it will, because this vision came from Spirit. And Spirit will not plant a seed that it doesn't plan to nurture. So I know it will. And right at that moment, somebody who's here today walked up and put a check in my hand. I went, see what I'm, this is what I'm saying. Is it right here? And then I went home and got on my email, and somebody had sent a PayPal donation. I'm like, yes! You know, when you let go of what's not yours, you're available to what is yours. Right? Because you're in a divine partnership. Lean into it. So we create the space. That's our job, to get that clear what? Create the space, the mental equivalent, the mental mold into which abundance and well-being of every nature can pour itself and flow into and through you. That's our job. See yourself living an abundant and prosperous and joy-filled life. If you can't see yourself there, neither will anybody else ever see you there. See yourself there. And the way you do it is get a vivid picture in your mind's eye. Get a vivid picture here and feel the passionate emotions and feelings around it in your soul. Literally have the experience inwardly, and it will draw you to it in your outer experience. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And I'll even tell you how to get a hold of me just so you can make sure I'm telling the truth. So get that vivid picture and that deep, passionate feeling. Some of the practices you can do. First of all, be clear if you listened, if you would be still and listen to what Spirit's guiding you to. And when you get that, write it down. Write down what you get. Write it in your journal or write it in a letter to a trusted friend who supports you in all that you are and all that you do. And in that, be as vivid and descriptive as you possibly can, seeing yourself living the life you love to live 5 years from now. See it fully formed, that vision yours already. That's the I part of the I am of intention. Then you can move into getting clear on what are the values, the experiences that I value, the qualities of experience that support this vision and this mission and this purpose, this passion that is mine that's being called forth. And get as clear as you can about that and write them down. There's something in the energy of expressing it in a multitude of ways. Speak it out loud to yourself. Speak it in the mirror. Speak it to a trusted friend. Write it down. Have it in front of you. Out of that will, and that's part of the attention, the A, the attention. And then out of that will come some goals and some priorities and some action steps that move you into that 5 years, that move you into the next year and this month and this week and today and the next day and the next day and the next day, giving it action in that A of the I am. And you literally will pull yourself, and the vision will pull you into its fulfillment. And the second thing I want to talk about, because this brings us into some of the human experience around all of this. We've got a spiritual experience and now a human experience, and that has to do with money. Because we live in a world right here that requires an exchange of energy that we call money. Money in and of itself doesn't have any meaning at all. It's simply a symbol for energy, the energy of things that we value or that we give meaning to. So the only meaning that money has, because, you know, look, you can pull some out right now, and I promise I won't take it, but you just take it out and look at it yourself, and you got some green pieces of paper. It's a nice green, I have to admit. It's my favorite color. But, you know, it's just a green piece of paper, or you got some coins that are jiggling and maybe even putting a hole in your pants. But you know what? It has no meaning except what we give it. No meaning whatsoever except what we give it. Our consciousness, our perspective, our perception, our attitudes and our beliefs give that money meaning. And some of the meaning we've given it hasn't been all that wonderful. You know, I invite you to ask yourself, what kinds of life sentences around your perceptions of money have you imprinted on your own heart and mind? Most of them you picked up when you were this big, starting with, there's never enough money. You got to hang on to what you got. Anybody ever hear that from a grandparent or a parent? Then you got you can't make, this one we hear every night on the news. You can't make any money in this economy. Unless, of course, you're corrupt or greedy and you already got a bunch of money. They're the only ones making money in this economy. So we're hearing all these messages repeated, and what happens is we start to buy into it and believe it, and then that's the vision that pulls us into it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go there. Then there's the biggie of them all. Money is the root of all evil. Which, by the way, happens to be untrue. It's a misquote from the Bible. The true quote was, the love of money is the root of all evil. When money has us and we make it a god of sorts. And, you know, Christians weren't the only ones who got that. Buddhists did too. The Buddhist writer Sulak Savisvarasga says this: many people think that Buddhism regards poverty as a desirable quality, but poverty as such was in no way praised or encouraged by the Buddha. What he regarded as important was how one gained one's wealth and how one used it. The Buddha taught not to be attached to wealth, for this creates craving and suffering. Things that make you go, So money, remember, in and of itself is neutral. It doesn't cause corruption. It doesn't cause people to do crazy things. It doesn't cause the suffering. It's the meaning we give to it. It's the craving after. It's the love of, the attachment to, the fear around, the greed around that corrupts our relationship with an energy that is meant to support us. So some of the things I would invite you to consider are, you know, what are some of the thoughts and feelings that you have around money? Some of them may be positive and some may be negative. Don't judge them, just notice them. And then decide which ones you want to keep and give attention and energy to. Think about, in your life, 8 to 10 of the worst things that you've ever done with your money. things that didn't necessarily bring you peace and joy. Okay? And then on the, and don't judge it, just notice it. On the converse of that, think about the 8 to 10 things that you've done with your money over your life that you feel really good about. And re-feel the energy of that goodness. Feel it again. And then I invite you this week to take a look at your checkbook or your, if you do online bill payment or whatever it is, look and see where do you, how do you spend your money? Where does your money go? Because it's an indicator of how you value it, whether you're conscious of it or not. And then this week I would invite you to be conscious of the energy and the relationship that you have with money this week. Pay attention to the energy of your giving and spending and the energy of your receiving. Notice what your feeling is around that. Because negative energy attached to money brings a negative experience. So be joyful in your giving and your spending. Be joyful in your receiving. And I guarantee it will increase joyful, generous, grateful. I guarantee it will increase a positive experience and relationship with money. The third thing I want to talk about is work. Work, another human experience. But is it? If we're into the drudgery of work as survival, yeah, that's pretty funky. But if we're into work that we love, that brings a sense of thrival, that's a good thing. And it no longer feels like work. It feels like a joy. We feel like, wow, I get to do this? How cool is that? Now, every species on the planet has to work at some level in order to support their well-being. Whether it's a plant that has to drive its roots into the ground so that it can survive and thrive, or whether it's a herd of animals that have to migrate to find new grazing land, or whether it's a pack of animals that go out and hunt for their food and their well-being. But on the human level, it's a little more complicated because we're not just here to work for survival. There's another component that's even more essential, and that is the component of right livelihood, of a healthy and vibrant and vital relationship with the work that we do, such that it brings us psychological and spiritual fulfillment and thrival. It's absolutely necessary to our well-being. When we don't have that, we suffer. Physical illness, mental, emotional, and spiritual lack of peace and fulfillment. And so it's important that the type of work that we do, that it becomes part of who we are. Because when we're doing survival, I hate it type of work, any money that we earn in the process of that brings anxiety. It doesn't bring peacefulness and fulfillment. Yet, on the other hand, if we're doing work that we absolutely love and we're in this atmosphere of thrival, the money that we earn from that, the way that we're prospered in that, becomes very positive, peace-filled, easy, flowing, and fun. I don't know about you, but I'm voting for the second one. Okay? And it tends to bring more. Now, here's another thing. This is something that's going on in our human experience right now, that a lot of people are out of work. You may be one of them. I would invite you to shift your thinking around that, shift your consciousness about that, and instead of feeling that you're unemployed, know that you're self-employed. And the current task of your self-employment is to find and or create work that you love. That's your job right now. To move that self-employment into something that prospers you and also fills you up with blessing and a sense of peace and fulfillment. So shifting that perception makes a world of difference in the energy that you will attract to yourself. You'll attract a more positive energy than what you would attract by being bummed out because I'm unemployed and I can't find anything to do. I would invite you to consider what I believe to be true, and I believe this with my whole being, that we are not called in this breakdown of the economy to patch it back together the way it was. I think that we went through this breakdown in order to have a breakthrough to build up a new world order and a new economy that is not based on the past, but that is rather based on everyone coming into a recognition and awareness of who they have come here to be on this planet. And out of that essential beingness to inform anything that they think, say, and do, so that they can have the life that they love to live. That each one of us, if we were being who we've come here to be, and we were valued and prospered for that, we would be living in a world that works for everyone. And that, to me, is the new economy. If you'd like to live there with me, I'm getting a bus right after church, and we're going. So, you know, first of all, it's really listening to Spirit and getting in touch for what we've been called here to be. And then out of that beingness, to live from that and have all of our doingness be about that. What if we valued all the things that you're here to be? We wouldn't have time for all the things that are destructive. We'd be too busy having a good old time and being blessed and nurtured and prospered and supported for it. I kind of like it. You know, if I weren't born in a foreign country, I might run for president. Darn. As long as everybody else is running, hey, what the heck? Okay. And the fourth thing I want to talk about is enlightenment. Because the most important work that we are here to do on this planet is to become enlightened. It is spiritual work. The spiritual work of awakening to our true nature. And not only awakening to that, but living in and from and as that true nature. Because then it blesses not only us, but everybody else that we encounter. And in fact, those we don't even encounter. So that's what I think we are truly called for. To move into this deeper inner knowing of a greater truth and possibility that Spirit has planted there in the soil of our soul. And it is that awakening, that becomingness, that awareness, that moving into who we truly are and away from who we're not, that brings us joy and freedom and fulfillment and confidence and peace and prosperity and power and presence and everything good. I really believe that. And then our relationship with this abundant universe that's here to say yes to us shifts dramatically. And we get it. We see ourselves as being totally supported by the abundance and the possibility of the universe, of Spirit itself. Now, back to the Buddha. Shortly after the Buddha had his enlightenment experience, he came across another man traveling on the road, and the man was just stunned by the radiant presence and peaceful presence of the Buddha. And he said to him, he said, "Who are you?" He goes, "What are you? Are you some sort of celestial being? Are you a god?" And the Buddha said, "No." He said, "Well, are you some kind of magician or wizard or something?" And again, the Buddha replied, "No." "Well, are you just a man?" And the Buddha said, "No." He said, "Well, then what are you?" And he said, "I am awake. I am awake." That's enlightenment, to be awake, to be aware in present moment. That is the transformative experience, not to transform into something we're, you know, radically different from who we are, but rather to transform from who we're not to who we truly are, so that we can be who we've come here to be. We can give that which has been called forth from us so that we prosper ourselves, bless ourselves and all the world. You know, enlightenment, awakened awareness, puts us in touch with the greater truth, such as we live in a universe that is abundant. We live and have a wealthy, generous father and mother that provides us with everything that we could possibly dream of and want. Unlimited abundance and infinite possibility. That we literally are walking around, if you really have the eyes to see it, and I want you to look after church, start looking at people's foreheads, because there's this big red stamp here that says pre-approved by God. Right there. I guarantee it's there. You just got to have eyes to see it. Pre-approved by God. And not only are we blessed and pre-approved by God, but we are pre-approved for an unlimited AAA credit rating on every level of experience. Anything that we need and want, we've got the support of Spirit. It's pre-approved. The credit's already there. And so we're in the grace and the flow of divine protection and harmony and unfoldment. And we are an essential and necessary part of that flow and that unfoldment of life. The term human from the ancient Greek means to be the dispensers of God's gifts. We're here to receive them, to partake of them, and to share them back out again. We are the dispensers of God's gifts, to be in the flow of receiving, giving, and to recognize that that is one divine circulation. You cannot have receiving without giving or giving without receiving any more than you can breathe out without breathing in or breathe in without breathing out. You must do both. If you'd like to try it, be my guest. You try just breathing in for till we're done. You breathe out till we're done. I'll call the paramedics. You must do both, receiving, giving, breathing in, breathing out. So we're here to be the dispensers of God's gifts, not only just in the area of money and prosperity, but abundance and well-being and wealth of every nature, our time, our talent, our treasure, in loving service, in community, in connection and in support, to recognize and realize that we have been blessed, pre-approved, and that we are a blessing. Blessed and a blessing. I want to close with a little story, because actually the title of my talk, I don't know if that's in there anywhere, but the title of my talk is that everything I ever learned about prosperity, or everything I know about prosperity, I learned from a 10-year-old. And this is a true story. We were doing a prosperity program in our spiritual community several years ago. And the way we always did, we kicked it off with a dinner, you know, community dinner, and where people would tell stories of, you know, how good had come into their lives in the past year and blah, 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 as a result of being part of this spiritual community and what a great thing it was. And, you know, testimonials, you know the drill. So we had the dinner, and the next Sunday, this little girl who was 10 came up to me and handed me this little handwritten note. And I happened to uncover that. It was shortly after Beverly called me and asked me to do a talk on prosperity. I was going through some old files, and I found this handwritten pencil on notebook paper note from a 10-year-old kid. And so I transcribed it, and I want to share it with you today, because if you heard nothing else that I shared today, hear this. You know, here's the deal with kids. And, you know, if you need some wisdom support, hang with kids, because they have not lost the wisdom that we were all born with, or covered it with layers and layers of unknowing. So hang out with kids if you get confused about life, because they just cut right through it and know the truth. So here's the letter I got handed. Dear Reverend Susie, I have thought of some ideas to raise money for the church. Yay. I know they will work. Notice that. I know they will work. I think number 5 will be the best after hearing the miracles that happened to people that were shared at the prosperity dinner at Shamiana. If it doesn't happen right away, don't be depressed. Maybe it will happen when we least expect it. I'm sure these ideas will work one way or another. Love, Rima. Then she had a nice little list. Ideas to raise money for church. Number 1, have an art sale. Number 2, have a bake sale. Well, in our community that year, they combined those two. The children had an art and bake sale. We were at Bastyr at that time. And before the adults had even come out of the sanctuary, before the service was even open, the kids had set up all these tables with art and baked goods out in the lobby there at Bastyr, and they had made $400 before we were done with church. I hadn't even asked for any money yet, and they made $400. So have an art and a bake sale. Number 3. Have an organized carnival. Organized, underlined. Number 4, have an organized, underlined, show or play. And number 5, remember she said this was the most important one. Number 5, pray for what we need and want. That kind of says it all right there. But she went on. Number 6, have a group of volunteer singers have a concert. We could also have volunteers from church. And in parentheses, make sure it is organized. We're known as a disorganized religion, but, you know, please, you know. And number 7, I love this one. I love this one almost as much as number 5. Number 7, tell people the church needs money and to please donate some. Duh. Tell the truth. Ask for what you want. Expect to receive it. So tell the folks, hey, we need some money to continue doing what we're doing, to expand what we're doing, to support each other and what we're unfolding here and becoming. So give some money. Please donate some. So this is the beginning of your prosperity and your plants program. Give, you know, you've heard the phrase, give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. Give till it feels good, and then give some more till it feels even better. Please donate some. Please donate some. And so it is.